have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome to Sunday School Dropouts, the podcast where an ex-Christian and a non-believing sort of Jew read all the way through the Bible for the first time.
But we finished the Bible, and now we're doing something a little different for a few episodes. I'm Lauren O'Neill, I'm the ex-Christian.
And I'm Nico Bakulich, I'm the non-believing sort of Jew, and this is not a Christian Bible study podcast.
Like, extra not a Christian Bible study podcast.
Pretty much extra
for this
not.
Mini-season. This is the fourth and final episode of our little mini-season.
The thrilling conclusion.
And as you probably gathered from previous episodes, instead of reading and discussing the Bible, for this little mini-series, we are playing a tabletop role-playing game called Testament, which is a Bible-based version of Dungeons & Dragons.
We are joined in this and our previous episodes in the mini-series by Greg, who you may recognize from our Job episode, and Maggie Takuda-Hall, who you may know from the Drunk Safari and Let's Not Panic podcasts, or from our episode on Joel. They're friends.
They're friends.
Also, they are friends of the show. That is Greg and Maggie.
So many friendships forming. Beautiful.
If you have not yet listened to episode 1, 2, and 3 in this mini-series yet, I would strongly recommend it because, frankly, all the hard work we did building a beautiful castle of emotions.
Yeah, all of Nico's beautiful DM work will be wasted on you. Wasted, you Philistine.
So check those out. Of course, if you are waiting for normal Bible service to resume, you can get back to that on the next episode.
Indeed. We will now join our story already in progress. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again at the end of the show.
Bye.
Previously on Sunday School Dropouts.
You're being led to a particular place that you remember as being a concentration of ruins. But you're not going to the ruins, it seems like. As you descend into this valley, you notice a fog around you.
Mm.
And you're descending deeper and deeper into this fog. And as you breathe it in, it has a very strange scent to it. A fellow comes out and you can immediately see, even in the dim shadows of this cave, that his mask is intricately carved. You are all privileged people because you've been given access to something truly incredible, your true heritage, denied to you by the Israelites. Anyway, the fog starts to roll into the cave at this point in the speech. It's almost like you lose your ability to concentrate. As this whole thing starts to coalesce, as everybody starts to change, but also turn and file out, you already notice that the speaker wasn't up in front anymore. But what you do also notice is that you get just the slightest breeze from that direction, and the air is simply not as fetid as the fog around you. And you see what must have been his only escape, which is a small hole in the cave floor. Looks like you could probably crawl through it.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we're gonna crawl.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. So you start crawling through. Do you have an order that you'd like to crawl through in?
I'll go not first.
Should we roll?
No. You can just decide.
I'll go first.
Okay.
For obvious reasons.
Great.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Xena, where your princess will go first, and then I will follow.
Are hyenas a good animal to burrow like that?
Actually, they are. They live in underground dens.
Beautiful.
This is Drunk Safari, bitch.
Suddenly,
they don't live there, but they nest there, and they like go. So they're totally comfortable in the dark.
They lay their eggs there.
And they're crepuscular, so they like the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go after her.
Cool.
And
Bonanza can come last.
Gag/Bonanza can come last.
Bringing up the rear, as usual.
So you guys climb through. It's not that far of a climb, but it feels like forever because it is pitch black, and it is barely big enough to squeeze through. This looks to be a very, very, very old passage joining two caves. And after what feels like an eternity, but is probably actually only about 10 minutes,
oh, shit.
You definitely reach an exit point and end up in a cave system of some kind. But nice. It's absolutely pitch black in there.
Uh-oh. Do Hittites have dark vision?
No. In some sort of oversight, Hittites in this version do not have dark vision.
I have a level 0 spell called Light, where object shines like a torch. Can I make an object into a torch?
You absolutely can. What would you like to make into a torch?
A rock that I find on the ground.
Beautiful. Are you going to offer a little prayer as you do so?
Yeah, I'll say, God, thank you so much for being with us every day. And I just want to ask you to give us some extra vision here on our quest for you. And I lift this rock up to you for blessing and for light.
Beautifully done. And you have a glowing-ass rock in your hand.
No one in this room appreciates how authentic that prayer was, but it was extremely authentic.
Oh, I liked it.
It's funny that your Levite priest has gradually turned into an evangelical youth leader as the show has gone on. But I was pretty sure that's where we were going to end up.
My Levite priest has the... Has a frosted tips.
Frosted tips, an acoustic guitar.
Yes.
Puka shell necklace.
Loot.
Exactly.
T-shirt tucked into jeans.
No, that's we're beyond that now.
Okay, cool.
That's not cool.
I have a search skill. Could I use that with the glowing rock that he has provided?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She the player, he the character.
That's
of course.
Right, yeah.
So what are you searching for?
The leader.
Let me tell you where he ended up.
Oh, okay.
With the power of the glowing rock on your side, you can see that you are in a cavern that sort of... This also has the marks of being worked by the hand of man, if I may get Tolkien-esque for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
This is obviously some sort of path that was carved at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty narrow corridor, but along the sides of the corridor on... Both sides, in both directions, you see small shelves carved out of the stone.
Shelves?
Like alcoves, per se.
Alcoves, yeah. And on all the alcoves, you see small groups of objects. Mm-hmm. Like, there'll be a couple of baubles or a couple of...
Baubles? Tchotchkes?
Any trinkets?
A couple of stones.
Mm.
Tchotchkes, bones.
Goo-gahs.
Mm.
Thingamabobs?
Near the edge of your vision, you think you spy a crown on one of the...
Whoa. I've got to say that I'm feeling more confident and vital now than I have in years when I see that crown.
Nice.
I like the shiny. Oh, yeah. I like
He liked the shiny. That's what it says on his business card.
He liked
shiny. Avarice.
So that's what you see around you. Now, you may want to figure out which direction you're supposed to go because the... Cave leads off in both directions.
Mm.
Yeah, so we gotta pursue this.
So I'll search for his footsteps then, I guess, or any evidence of which way he's gone.
Sounds good.
22.
Beautiful. I mean, the dust in here is pretty thick, all things considered. You can see that the dust on the ground is very obviously worn in one direction, as if somebody had passed this way many times. In the other direction, looks very dusty. Looks like nobody goes that way.
Uh-oh. Which direction has a crown?
Just take the crown if you want it, dude.
How much does the crown weigh?
How much does the crown weigh?
Yeah, because, okay, so we're in the...
Strange question.
No, we're in the...
How that crown weigh?
Yeah.
Solomon is king right now, mm-hmm. and David, his father, was king before him.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And in First or Second Chronicles, I know David's crown weighed a talent, which is 75 pounds.
Mm.
And that seemed a little...
Excessive.
Heavy. Yeah.
And that was cumbersome.
You know, maybe David as like one of the great kings could bear that weight upon his head, but I don't know about
that's
the answer.
Massive cephalic stress to carry 75 pounds on any human skull.
Totally. This is not one of those one talent crowns. This is, I mean, looking back, this must be a very old crown because to be impressive in those times, it was pretty, it's tiny, you know?
Uh-huh.
Go ahead and take it, Bonanza. Let's just go.
If we pass by those You Can Call Me alcoves, I will grab the crown.
Yeah, you snag a crown on your way.
Hell yeah. And any other
and
trinkets
those You Can Be My Bodyguard coves. Those are great.
I'll leave those for you. But any shiny trinkets that don't look too cursed, I want to grab them.
Yeah. I mean, everything down here looks pretty cursey, to be frank.
Shoot.
It looks like...
Well, I will do that old mage hand. I'm going to use the mage hand and throw him in the sack with a skull.
Okay.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
When in Rome. I mean, Jericho.
You definitely take that crown, and that's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
You don't spy anything obviously super valuable along your way besides that.
Okay. So crown into the cave, into the sack, and I will not touch it with my little hand. I'll use the mage hand, baby. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you make your way along the path, and it gradually dawns on you that these must be catacombs or something like that.
Doggacombs.
These are...
I hate that I laughed at that.
Yeah, I hate that too. So this is a very, very old place filled with the remains of very, very old people.
Okay.
Don't touch them.
I wasn't gonna.
How many ex-wives do I have in here?
Who think he'll be unholy? I'm just watching out for you.
That's a great point. A great point. Well observed too.
Thank you. Piety points?
I think he had it under control.
Hmm.
It's not like he slapped his hand away while he was reaching for a
congratulations, you're God's Tracy Flick.
Burn. That was like my number one goal in high school.
Yeah. Unironic
burn.
Yeah. Anywho, you track the footsteps through the dust, through the catacombs. And these catacombs wind on and on and on. You can't believe how long this goes, lit only by the dim light of a blessed stone.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually you are led to a slightly widening chamber, and the little alcoves on either side grow a bit more grand. You notice that they're painted.
Painted?
And Ooh. That the stonework around them is a little nicer.
Nicer?
A little filigree?
That's right. Some geometric patterns.
Oh, yeah.
It begins to get a little nicer. You enter into a slightly wider chamber, covered with these rather nicer alcoves. In the center of this chamber is a stone pillar. On top of the stone pillar is what looks like a aspect of a bold man.
What?
It looks like a very simplistic man's face.
Ah, yes.
That's bald.
Ooh. Jeff Bezos. Ancient god.
But it's very...
This seems like an idol to me.
It's very, very simple. Like, the eyes are just sort of impressions.
Mm-hmm.
And the mouth is just an impression.
Hey, I do impressions too. Oh, hey.
E-I.
But the whole thing is carved out of a single piece of stone.
I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. It seems idolatrous.
Beyond the idol, you can see there is a door. And it looks like a door made of bronze.
Ooh.
It's rather badly corroded, but you can see that the lock has moved recently.
Uh-oh.
And that the door could probably move, even though it's quite old.
Can we destroy the idol before we...
Maybe on our way out? I feel like the idol's part of the key to get through the door.
How big is this idol? Are we talking...
Idol's probably about 4 feet tall.
Mm. Oh. Too heavy for my sack.
But it's on a...
it's a solid...
It's on a plinth or something.
It's a solid pillar of stone. It's all carved.
If you smash this, I mean, I can take chunks, probably get some points.
What if we put the crown on it to see if the door opens?
Do not put a crown on this idol.
It's just being whimsical.
How dare you?
I'm going to stay out of this.
All right, Priesty, why don't you go try and push that door open and see how it goes before we put anything on this statue who clearly needs things added to him.
I have to try to open the door?
Yeah, go for it.
Jeff Bezos can wait. Jeff Bezos.
I believe in you.
Jeff Bezos?
Jeff Bezos. It's an ancient god. It's just a coincidence.
No relation.
Mm-hmm.
Go pull it open.
You gonna try to open it?
Yeah, I guess I'm gonna try to open it.
Cool. Yeah, you push and pull with the best of your strength. The lock looks to be disengaged, but you cannot move this huge bronze door.
All right, I will slowly push the crown out of the sack without actually touching it with my fingers.
What's that gonna do?
Well, Ranger over there wants me to try to put it on Jeff Bezos' head.
Do not put it on Jeff Bezos' head.
Listen.
Is Jeff Bezos bald?
Oh, yeah, very bald. Quite. I mean, really smooth. I think he's got electrolysis going up there.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very impressive.
Very sleek.
Hair's never commitment. Coming back. I think we should put this crown on Jeff Bezos' head. I'm going to do it. I got one extra piety point. It's just like putting a key in a lock.
It's not.
I can use Mage Hand to do it, and it's a cantrip.
Oh, yeah, do it.
So does it look like it might fit or not at all?
I mean, it looks like it'll probably fit.
Okay, I'm going to Mage Hand that sucker on there and then cowardly-ness.
I'm going to turn my back on this enterprise.
That's fine. You do that.
All right, Picard.
Oh my god, does that mean I get to be Riker? I want to sit down on chairs the wrong way.
You know he did that because he had a back problem, right?
Sciatica. Oh, I thought it was just because of his giant balls.
I mean,
they were huge.
It's actually Picard who had the giant junk that they had to redesign the uniforms because his junk kept showing. True story.
Wow.
Anyway.
Bald and
did you see that thing, that quote about Willem Dafoe? Like Willem Dafoe does like full frontal nudity in
Antichrist by Lars von Trier.
Yeah. But they had to use a fake penis that was smaller than his actual
looks
penis.
Like a joke.
Because it was too confusing.
Yeah.
His actual
visually
penis
alarming is
was
what
so large that it was like confusing.
This seems on topic. Should we put the crown on Jeff Bezos' head? I'm going to. Whatever.
Mage Hand.
Oh, you say Mage Hand as if it were like
you have to roll for Mage Hand.
No, you don't. But
what?
But what you do have to understand is that it doesn't absolve you of our responsibility.
Oh, no.
Like, you are actually doing it.
I'm well aware of that. It's okay. Just like, how am I going to give myself a magical stranger every night in my lonely hovel if I'm not using Mage Hand?
Listen, I don't think I'm going to get to have sex with anyone ever again unless I'm willing to lose my piety points. I might as well start now so we can get through
this
door.
You can have sex with your spouse forever. What's your problem with that?
Oh, God, this killjoy.
So I'm going to put the crown on its head.
Okay. You take the crown out of his mage hand and throw it on the idol's head.
Mm-hmm. I am an excellent shot.
I'm simply scoffing.
Even though the eyes are barely figured, they're just indentations. It seems like almost a shadow lifts over them, and it looks like they're opening.
Shit.
As if there were another source of light in the room.
Creepy.
Yikes.
And you hear the idol say,
"What? It's gonna talk?"
This is Ryan Seacrest. Welcome to American Idol.
You hear the idol say, "Enter, if you would. Penitent."
Penitent?
Not pestilent?
No one is penitent to this idol. It's false.
I'm gonna go in.
This is dark magic. This is not from God.
Like, okay.
You know, his cave, his rules. That's what I always say.
God's it's been kind cave. Of a box block, and I'm not about it right now.
The bronze door swings open slowly. And beyond, you can see an even larger chamber.
What?
That's already lit.
Yeah.
It's just lit.
I'm going Sam. In. I'm
Let's
going in.
Yeah, you lose 20 points of
Holy
piety.
Why didn't you just let me do it? I'm a ne'er-do-well. I'm a scofflaw.
You literally took it out of his mage hand.
Listen.
It was like a blasphemous alley-oop.
It's hard not to remember minus 19 piety points, but I'm going to write it down anyway. I'm going to give that mom a call the minute we're out of here, just so you guys know.
You are coming back with me to Jerusalem, and you are sacrificing so much of your livestock.
I'm going to have some oats to sell here first. So I'm minus 20 piety points. What do I see?
So you guys presumably follow behind her?
I was literally brought along for that purpose. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. We could have just left it to him, but it's fine. It's whatever. We're going.
So what you see is a terrifying-looking chamber. This chamber is a little bit larger than the one you left behind, but where all of the alcoves in the previous chamber that were carved looked as if they were, you know, decoratively carved, these look like they were carved by somebody with a completely different conception of the universe than you understand it.
Okay.
Because it doesn't have any geometry to it. As far as you can tell, it seems to be completely random. Might I describe it as eldritch?
I don't like eldritch.
Eldritch.
Don't like eldritch at all.
I like it.
Because the figures on the little alcoves that are carved on the side, they give you chills just to look at them. Strange little stone carvings. Maybe 100 of them in series around the room, and then a second layer above, and then a third layer above that.
Wow.
You see some small smoldering fires around the room, not in any organized way, not like torches or anything, as if people were burning little offerings.
Ugh.
And at the head of the room, you see another pillar of stone. This one looks different from the idol that you just saw, though. This one is made of a strange black rock.
Hmm.
And this one towers above you. It's got to be 12 feet tall.
12?
And it looks completely natural, as if, you know, it had erupted from the ground.
Hmm. Huh.
So it doesn't have, like, a face?
It has no face.
Hmm. This sounds like a high place.
You know,
to me.
There was an obsidian obelisk back in Carchemish, but this doesn't look. Does it look?
It doesn't look carved by human hands.
Ah, okay. That was definitely carved by human hands.
Kneeling in front of this stone pillar, you see a black-robed figure. And based on what you saw before, this is definitely whoever was speaking to the group of black-robed figures in the cave.
Okay, so we got to...
I think we got to get him.
Or do we got to interrogate him?
Yeah, but we have to get him first, right?
We have to get him without killing him.
Exactly.
Take him alive.
I think he'll be hard to kill, like Steven Seagal.
So we just want to physically overpower him right now.
Okay.
So I want to use wit and musical whimsy, but we can do your thing.
So we need to do attacks, but without mortal weapons. Is that right?
This chamber is probably about like 50 feet long, about 20 feet wide, and about 25 feet tall.
It's pretty small, all things considered.
Pretty small, all things considered, great, but sure. You're not
hosted
like,
by Kai Rizdal.
But you're not within touching distance, I would say.
I have a dagger I can throw at him.
Don't throw a dagger. We gotta like throw. Do you have a
I'm
spell?
A coward. Oh yeah, I got spells too. Yeah, fuck.
Do
yeah,
I have rope skill?
Yeah,
can
rope
I try
skill.
To lasso him?
Yeah, can you lasso him?
You're welcome to try and lasso him.
Okay, I'm gonna try. 15.
Okay, you throw your lasso from the shadows. It seems to stop almost before it reaches the figure that you've seen. And the figure stands up and turns towards you and says, I had thought this day would come. Not so soon, but here we are. That you, so jealous the temple would come for me.
My God is a jealous God. That's not an insult to me.
Unexpected but fair. And it has come to this in the shadow of my God. My savior, that you would come to my home and my temple
there
and accuse
isn't
me.
Another god or savior. Idols are made of wood, stone, they're not real.
Well, let us see whether your god favors you or mine favors me.
Okay, that's great, because in the entire biblical history, this has only gone on my side, so.
He begins casting a spell.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Do we got to roll for initiative?
You do indeed.
Yay!
Oh, no.
I got a good one.
I rolled a 3.
I rolled a 12.
I rolled a 20.
Bonanza.
20 total?
20 total, not nat.
So you hear the priest or whatever he is start to mutter some...
Not a priest, but yes. Go ahead.
Some unspeakable words that you don't understand. As you hear him do this, dark energy gathers around him and springs forth from his hand.
What?
And it shoots towards Neva.
You better do some Neva's... Harry Potter shit or I'm never going to believe in God again.
Oh, no.
Neva's got to roll me a fortitude save.
So he beat me on initiative?
He did.
Wait, he beat Neva, though?
Oh,
yeah,
six.
Wow.
Six? Mm. That's really bad.
I know. It was a two. But then I got plus four.
Because you feel... It's a similar sensation to what you felt like when the fog first started to get into your brain before you sort of fought it off. But you are almost incapacitated. Not quite incapacitated. Like, you're still there, but it's behind like a foggy window.
Great, so I'm stoned.
Yes, you are stoned.
Not that I'd know what that was like.
That's right. Nobody does drugs, and they're bad. But you...
Stoning is only reserved for the worst cases of adultery. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's right. You're in the sunken place. No doubt about that.
Uh-oh. You gotta get out.
Okay.
So that's his turn, correct?
That's right. But behind him,
uh-oh,
you see the pillar that he was worshiping. Mm-hmm. It emits a sort of eerie glow and a very, very low hum.
Ugh.
Goes.
I don't like it.
That's.
And you see the priest himself start to glow with a little
priest.
Bit of. He's a priest. We'll call him a priest.
He's not a priest. Keep going.
You see him start to glow with an otherworldly
like
type
he just
of glow.
Had a refreshing spa day.
That's right. He had the
he
whole.
He looks positively dewy.
The whole treatment. Yeah, he honestly looks 2 years younger.
He's got some Fenty highlighter. I live.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, bro.
And it's Greg's turn.
All right. Well, I'm going to look at that obelisk and I'm going to be like, that motherfucker's got to go. And so I'm going to cast Shatter on the obelisk.
Wow.
Whoa.
You can cast Shatter?
I can cast Shatter. It's a second level bard spell. And what it does is it says, sonic vibration damages objects or crystalline creatures.
Badass. That does
crystalline
like...
creatures?
Yeah. Well, if I come up against Tennessee Williams and his cursed glass menagerie, I'm going to shatter those mothers.
That bitch. He knows what he did.
He knows what he did. Get that cat down from that hot tin roof. That is cruel and unusual, bro. It's topaz. It's poor little topaz.
Poor little topaz.
Kiss the little pink topaz. Oh, wait, I mean, shatter the obelisk. I got really confused for a second about my purpose. Okay.
Well, there you go. That's why role-playing games are the best, because when the dice fall on the table, the simple fact is Greg shatters this ancient idol with a single spell.
This rules.
Ruining Nico's whole plan.
Smashes it into a thousand pieces.
Much like Nico's plans.
It's a metaphor.
The otherworldly glow around the priest fades, and also you can tell, even though this fellow is wearing a mask, his attitude is taking a hit as well.
Mm.
Presumably because he's lost the favor of whatever it was that was animating that volcanic.
Nothing was animating that. That was just rock.
Fog lifted also?
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
Still wasted, you guys.
It's like you see yourself doing stuff, but.
Just looking at my hands a lot. Right. Mm-hmm. Where do I put them? Where do they go?
That's ketamine.
He hit you they're with called the, fingers, but I've never the seen them drug. Fing.
And it's Maggie's turn, which
I didn't get a turn.
You're last.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it was the last fortitude.
Okay. Sorry. I thought she already went because of fortitude save him.
No, and it's Maggie's turn, which mm-hmm. she will waste staring at her hands, unfortunately.
They're so pretty. You guys, look at them.
To you, they look like a kaleidoscope combined with stained glass, combined with like a Viewmaster kind of 3D effect.
Totally. They're so good.
Beautiful. Certainly engaging enough to distract you from the battle for life and death that is occurring around
Can
you.
Can Xena or your princess jump in on my behalf?
Unfortunately, without your ability to give her a command, she is not able to determine what is right and wrong in this scenario.
That's right. She's probably just looking at my hands also.
That's right. She has no sense of, you know, absolute morality.
Is it my turn now?
It is your turn.
So I have a spell. It's called Protection from Chaos/Evil/Good/Law.
Okay. So that's the general D&D thing. You can protect from evil is what you can do.
Okay. Can I protect Neva from evil and break this spell's hold upon her?
That's not what that spell does.
Oh.
You might want to confront this bro.
It doesn't dispel evil. It just protects you from it preemptively.
It's true.
Okay.
I realized that the computer games with these rules work exactly the same way.
Computer games, eh?
Yeah, I didn't play the tabletop ones, but that didn't mean I wasn't super uncool.
Okay, so I can't protect either of my friends here. Or can I?
I don't know.
You are so enraged right now facing this blasphemous bastard.
Think about what kind of situation you're in right now. I mean, you are a potential Jewish hero right now facing down an idol.
You're like David facing the Goliath. Get in there.
Goliath was just his name, right?
Yeah.
It was his name. But he was both.
There were actually multiple Philistines named Goliath.
Oh, really? It was true. Like John.
I'm also quoting LL Cool J's speech of encouragement given at the end of Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, again?
Less than the actual
scripture. It's true.
Did they teach you that in Hebrew school?
Yeah, and totally. Levites love Cool J.
They do.
but it's a Jehovah, not James. Levites love Cool Jehovah.
They can't say that part.
Yeah. Oh, that's.
I could do bless, and then allies gain +1 on attack rolls and saves against fear. Could that help?
That will definitely help.
Okay, should I do bless or should I do...
No, just pick one, please.
Inflict light wounds.
It doesn't matter.
Bless or inflict light wounds.
Light wounds. Get
it. Go for it.
Okay, I'm going to do inflict light wounds. Touch deals 1d8 damage +1.
Oh, you don't want to touch... Do you want to touch him?
You got to touch him to inflict light wounds.
As long as I don't kill him, it's fine.
You can't kill him with inflict light wounds, but you'll be helping us out, so let's do it.
Yeah, roll that d8 or whatever.
So you walk right up to this priestly fellow, and you what does it look like when you inflict light wounds with your touch?
With my touch,
mm-hmm.
I can just kind of chop him in the throat.
Okay,
you know, like no blood.
It is Seagal.
Yeah.
No blood. No blood.
Yeah, no blood.
Okay, so something very important for me.
Yeah.
Before you roll any dice for damage or anything, roll a d20.
For
Oh, he's got an aura.
For what?
Just roll a d20.
I got a 12.
And what's your piety score?
2, 4, 5, 7, 8, 8 plus 8.
Just squeaking by. You can feel it doesn't feel right trying to invoke God's magic when you're not properly dressed.
I know.
It doesn't feel quite right. But this time, maybe the urgency of the situation or maybe your state of mind allows you to push through and inflict light wounds on this character.
Mm.
So roll damage for me.
Got a 6. +1/level.
+1/level?
Yeah, and I'm level 3, right?
Cool. So you add 3 to that.
Yeah, so 6 + 3 is 9.
Nice. So what does it look like when you inflict light wounds on a person?
I'm only punching and karate chopping. I'm not drawing blood. I cannot touch blood.
Right. But, I mean, you got to be hurting this person somehow.
Yeah, I'm attacking the throat and the face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was really uncalled for that you slapped him in the face. But you know what? You do, yo.
I liked it. I've been slapped like that by my ex-wives, and it brought back some fun memories of the last time I had human contact.
In the solar plexus so that he loses his breath.
Mm. Well, actually, he's goth, so it's a lunar plexus, but thank you. And that's the kind of wit and witticisms you could have found on my old Twitter account.
Okay, it's this fellow's turn. And what he's going to do is, since you're right up in his face, he's simply going to try to strike you.
Okay.
But as he moves to swing his arm as if it had a sword, but there's nothing in it.
Okay.
But as he swings it, you see that he's wielding a sword made of thousands of tiny bugs.
Oh, what? God. This guy's so pestilent.
Yeah.
And it leaves this sort of trail of awful swimming bugs in the air.
Okay.
And those persist.
That's fine if I don't eat them. I mean, there's certain bugs I can't eat. Like I can eat locusts. I can eat grasshoppers.
And what's your AC?
My AC is 13 total. Does that mean anything?
Yes, it means you get hit.
By
the bug sword.
By bugs.
And you take 6 points of damage.
Oh, shit.
And you need to give me a fortitude save.
Okay, so I got a 17 plus 3 is 20.
Perfect. Presumably your faith preserves you against the infection of these bugs.
Yeah.
But this phantom sword of pestilence does cut you badly.
Okay.
And it's Grego's turn.
It's minus 6 hit points, right?
All right.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look with alarm at the befoulment of this priest,
mm-hmm.
who I've grown somewhat neutral about over the course of this campaign. And I'm going to, with rage, try to summon the actual goddess Ishtar, who is a kind of loner god that we got in the Hittite faith.
Whoa.
And she kind of took over our pantheon. Kind of cool. But I'm going to fail at that and just summon a monster.
Cool.
One level, and it's a badger. So that's kind of Ishtar's mocking me by sending me a badger, but badgers are pretty ferocious and it's going to attack.
That's true.
Dude.
That's badgers are tough. Beast.
Yeah. So it's going to badge him.
Dope. You summon a badger.
Mm-hmm.
Honey badger?
Honey badger. I don't know the meme actually.
Have you drawn honey badgers on Drunk Safari?
No, but I should because I love them.
Oh my God.
They're really great.
But you can't do it until you get the actual guy who did the original
video. I know, that's the thing, is I'll never be as funny as like, No.
But you can get big enough to invite that guy on.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Chocolate rain.
You can get big enough to invite Tazon Day on.
That would actually be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Honey badgers.
His breathing technique. Anyway, so the honey badger
moves
gonna,
away from the
honey badger gets to, I looked up the spell. He gets to act on this round.
Dope.
So, yeah.
He jumps into action.
It just gives me his alignment, not his...
the most important thing about a honey badger is whether he's neutral good or neutral evil.
It is, because whatever goal I will make up
the stats in my 300 IQ DM brain. So just tell me, just roll an attack die, and we'll figure out what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, roll a die.
Okay. He rolled a 15. Oh, full attack. 2 claws, plus 4 melee, 1d2 minus 1, and bite, 1 melee, 1d3 minus 1.
Cool.
So 2 claws and a bite.
2 claws and a bite. He's not getting that many attacks. That's more of a 5th edition kind of thing.
What?
He's definitely hitting.
I don't agree with that.
And I'd like you to roll a d6 plus 2 for damage for him.
Great. All right, let's do this, baby. 6 plus 2. That's an 8.
Five.
Ooh, daddy's buying drinks tonight.
That badger is going wild.
He's going badger wild. I tried to summon a goddess and I failed, so this is what you get.
Badgers are great.
Badger, I mean, badger, mushroom.
I would consider every Combo badger mushroom. To be a goddess in a certain kind of way.
Yeah.
You're not going to get laid by a badger.
Okay, there's that one fine distinction.
Whatever. I wasn't hoping for that or anything.
Honey badger don't care.
This is great. Oh, good. It's your turn.
It's Neva's
whoever
turn.
You are.
I'm Neva.
Give me a will save.
Not so good. 6.
A 6
plus what?
No, that was with the plus.
Oh. That's with the plus. You're still behind a deep fog.
Look at my hands.
You can see the shadows playing off the walls from the smoldering fires in the room. And honestly, it looks like the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen.
It might be.
You are on a profound, profound journey. But unfortunately, in the real world, it expresses itself as a lot of hand waving and sort of muttering.
You know what? It's hard to be present, okay? And we all do it differently.
It's difficult.
Silent disco.
Yeah.
I sway.
Now it's Lauren's turn.
What about consecrate? Fills area with positive energy.
Ooh, I like that. That's something your character would do.
Yeah, do it.
What does it mean to fill area with positive energy?
Well, so in Testament, you gain significant bonuses whenever you're trying to cast spells or attack people or resist attacks if you're on consecrated ground.
Mm-hmm. So I shatter it and you consecrate it. We are fucking this guy over.
Okay. I'll do that. I don't know what the fuck. What do I do? Consecrate, filter with positive energy. I cast that.
Okay. Well, I mean,
what do I got to roll?
You're a Levite priest.
Yeah.
What does it look like when you like emergency consecrate a battleground?
Well, you know, normally I would be touching my gems. I would be jingle jangling my Urim and
But now
Thummim.
You're on the radio.
Yeah. So repressed.
But right now, so I'm going to just like put my hands in the namaste pose. But to me, it's like a praying to Yahweh pose.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, God, please help me fill this cavern with posy vibes.
Got it. You're not really selling God on this. I mean, you know what God likes.
You got to tickle the DM's toes with your feathery words.
Clearly, I know that all idols are just made of stone and wood and they're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have on my side is the one true God, Yahweh, a.k.a. Jehovah. So when I consecrate in the name of Yahweh. I'm a priest from Jerusalem.
Beautifully done.
Great.
Nailed it. The ground around you seems to glow with its own inner light. And even the pile of rubble that once was that volcanic pillar that he smashed on the first turn of this encounter, because I didn't realize he could cast a spell called Shatter, even that begins to glow with a light.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the priest almost visibly shrink.
Yes.
Great turn.
Okay.
Tremendous work.
Excellent.
It is his turn, and he's gonna try to strike you again.
Oh no, I'm gonna die.
We'll see about that. Does a 12 hit your AC?
My AC is 13.
Ooh.
So it does not.
Yeah.
Possibly due to the consecrating efforts.
Mm-hmm. Phylacteries
of power. Possibly due to some other unseeable force.
Mm-hmm.
God. The God of the Israelites.
You're able to deftly avoid the magical insect blade.
Great.
Of this awful person.
Excellent.
And it's Greg's turn.
Bonanza, you in danger, girl.
Bonanza is going to sick the badger again with an unspoken message and say, like, just go for the junk, you know, because it's like his level. Mm-hmm. And Bonanza also is just jealous.
The junkular, right?
The junkular, exactly. then Bonanza is going to himself just simply throw a dagger at this guy's face.
Sounds
because,
great.
You know, you got to get your hands dirty.
Roll
sometimes.
A D. 20.
All right. Do I roll for the badger first or the me? Or
you.
Okay. I rolled a 1.
Nice. So that clatters off into the darkness somewhere.
How many ones can you possibly roll?
I can roll 20s. I can roll 1s. Nothing in between.
All right. What does that badger do, though?
Badger.
What that badger do, though?
The badger's trying to he found a rich vein of deliciousness, and he's trying to just mine it for
Got
some
it.
More. 18. Oh my god, this badger is making me look so stupid. So that is a 22 or something like
yeah,
that. Yeah.
D6.
All right, that's a 3 plus 2. That's 5.
Dope.
Magic badger. It's a magic badger.
The magic badger.
Summoned.
Maybe with a little spirit of Ishtar in it.
Maybe
you asked for Ishtar and you think you didn't get it, but maybe you did.
Maybe she's here.
No, that's not real.
It's Maggie's turn.
Okay, so do I have to roll fortitude or will or something?
You do.
Does the ground will. The ground does not help. The consecrated. No. Okay.
18.
Whoa. 18 plus your will.
No, that is plus my will.
Oh, dope. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
You snap back into life.
Ba bam.
You're suddenly in possession of all your faculties.
Yeah.
And you're able to take an action because this is consecrated ground.
Okay. Mm. I'm going to attack with my longbow, and I'm also going to sick Xena Warrior Princess. But first, I'll roll for my longbow.
Do it.
15 plus 7, so 22.
That's a hit.
Yeah.
Roll damage,
which is
D8 plus 1.
5 plus... Oh, okay, so 6.
Cool.
Okay, and then I'm going to roll for Xena.
These animals, I love them.
She only got a 6.
Does she have a bonus?
She does. It's like a plus 9. 3 or something.
She was worried about you. She was concerned, and so her head's not in the game.
She can't quite do any damage there.
It's okay. She's just not sure if she can trust me again yet.
It's possible that as you snap back to life and gave her a command immediately, it was a little...
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was not 100% sure what you wanted in that scenario.
I forgot to call her Warrior Princess, and frankly, she was mad.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. You know what? I would be too.
We've all been there.
You earn your title.
Yeah.
And it's Lauren's turn.
Oh, no. We've damaged.
Here's my advice.
Yeah.
Do anything.
Okay. we're damaging this
we
enemy. Do we need to interrogate him at all? Or?
Well, he's not looking that bad yet. I mean, we'll know.
I think maybe you don't realize how little risk we actually have in this situation.
We have
a benevolent dungeon master who'd like us to succeed. So.
Okay. All right. In that case, I don't know. Can I just like smack him?
Yeah!
Hit him with your staff.
How do I do that?
You roll a d20 and add your total attack bonus listed on your character sheet.
Okay, I rolled a 10. And my attack bonus is help.
So 14.
Yeah, 14.
My attack bonus is 4, 14.
Yeah.
You strike him with your staff.
Great. Do you want to help me?
Okay. So it is a staff 1d6.
Next to where it says staff.
Could you point to it for me?
It's the regular die. Like the one that looks like...
Oh, right. It's
Monopoly.
Yeah. D6.
We're playing Monopoly.
6? That 6 was meant to be.
Add 3 to that because you're on consecrated ground. Your staff turns in the air as you swing it.
Mm-hmm.
Takes on the aspect of every famous shepherd's staff from Jewish history. It's as if you're striking the head of every reticent ram that has ever labored under a Jewish patriarch in history.
And every Philistine.
Totally true. And you strike this man down.
Great.
Were you trying to kill him?
No.
Knock him out.
I was trying to knock him out.
Cool. You knock him cold out.
Amazing. You guys, now we can drag him back to town.
That's right.
And now we can look under his mask.
Yeah, we look under his mask, then we can drag him back to the temple. Bada bing, bada boom, our job here is almost done.
Almost.
So you find yourself in an ancient catacomb with a broken idol and an incapacitated, robed, masked man.
Yeah, okay.
Old man Elijah!
So let's take the mask off first things first, right?
Okay.
Mask is off.
I take the mask off.
You pop the mask off.
Yeah.
And it's somebody you recognize.
No.
Is it the priest from the temple in town?
It is indeed.
Oh, it's my cousin.
It's indeed Cousin Elzebab.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
I wish it was almost anyone Elzebab.
You know whose piety points should be lower than mine? Elzebab's.
Oh, they are.
Elzebab? My own cousin?
Who could have seen it coming?
I know this is hard for you.
Literally the only other character that would have made sense. I like it.
All right. Well, let's tie him up. Let's drag him out of here. I have plus 7 for my climbing bonus. So if we need to climb out of here, I can carry his ass. And I have high confidence that this is going to work.
You don't need to climb out of here, but roll a die anyways, because you got that
Which
amazing...
die? 12.
12. 19 climb? Yeah, no problem.
I'll pull
so
him
easy
right
to get
out of here.
Out of here.
Can I try to mage hand that crown into my sack before we go?
Totally.
Excuse me?
He's ahead with Elzabeth.
You stole a crown from an idol. You get 2 piety points.
Yeah,
there.
I'm in the posse.
Because that... Because that idol is not on your team,
mm-hmm.
and you just disrespected it in a major way.
Loves it.
And in Hittite circles, you only get points for that.
Hell yeah, that's why I love being a Hittite.
I think I need to become a Hittite.
Excuse
Come on in, the water's warm.
I'm just saying, my work here with you is done.
If you want to go to hell, sure.
If you go back to Carchemish, can you pick up my mail? Because I'm not allowed within like 60 miles of that spot.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up like having to pay your debts, and I am not about that.
Yeah, exactly.
How do they see through me? Every woman sees through me immediately.
Guessed it in one.
I can goal any man, and then a woman... come on. All right.
Okay, you've successfully rooted out a source of serious impiety and infidelity to the one true God in Jericho.
Did not see this coming.
We did it, you guys.
I trusted my cousin.
You've succeeded on your mission from the High Temple. Both of you get plus 30 piety.
What?
Ooh, back in the black.
Because you've accomplished a heroic act for the Jewish temple.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few people in history that have done this kind of thing.
Plus 11 piety, bitch.
I'm at 38.
That's fine. Take it back to Jerusalem.
That's pious.
Yeah, I'm going to need it after wearing this petrified rock mask.
So tell me, you've captured the bad guy.
We did it.
Do you have any questions to ask of him?
I have
so many questions.
Okay, what do you want to ask?
Like, A, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And B, what the fuck?
Right. Do you have any better questions to ask?
I'd like to step in here. Hey, come on, Elzabeth, what's going on here? If you want to worship false idols, you don't need to poison the whole countryside. I worship like 50 idols a day. Come on, buddy, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
What's the big idea?
Yeah, what's the big idea?
The Jewish God left this place a long time ago.
What?
Now, this is a place of great history and of great power. And
great comedy, by the way. Stop by the old fig bar. Thursdays and Sundays.
You do comedy on the Lord's Day?
No, Lord's Day is Saturday. Lord's Day you would Saturday. Know that. You may be the worst Jew ever.
Friday. It starts Friday night. Oh, you said Thursday.
Jiminy Christmas, Jack. Batman.
I'm so glad I interrupted for this.
Delicately skirted the Sabbath just for that reason. Blew it up. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
This was an old city before it was destroyed by the Jews when they returned to their holy land.
We didn't destroy it. We just knocked the walls down.
But that city is dead and gone. That was the ruins of that city was the one you and I were crawling through last night. This is a new city.
What?
Listen, Elzabab, is there going to be more water poisoned now that we have you?
What's the deal with the water?
Well, I found...
That was some petty bullshit, first of all. And second of all.
Well, there's...
What the hell?
I was worshipping one of the true gods of this area.
Excuse me?
It was Baal-zebub, the Lord of the Flies.
What? Oh, I know that dude. He was Ishtar's consort, and then they got divorced. Baal-zebub and I have something in common.
Elzabab? I thought we were fucking cousins!
I wish I could explain it to you, but I feel that you are closer than ever to your God. And
the only God?
The God that led me astray.
What?
And betrayed me.
What?
Well, I mean, I have felt more power and more life by embracing Baal-zebub than I ever did by embracing your God.
Can I just ask you one question about this? And I'm just going to drop it after this, but I just have to ask you one question right now. Because I'm getting a little upset. Okay. What you had harnessed was earthly power. It was earthly poisonous power. It was the cheapest level of conjuration. And pestilence is not what human life is about. Human life is about renewal and rebirth. There was no rebirth to your little death cult. It was a cult of bestiality and destruction, and I am frankly disgusted by you.
Bonanza's going off. Give Bonanza some piety points.
Do Hittites get piety points
for
speeches?
For that?
You get some piety points.
What? Yeah, I like also think that was a bad idea and stuff.
You're supposed to think it's a bad idea.
Your God gives you a pity point, which is like a piety point, but it doesn't count.
Poor Elzebab. I mean, he's really starting to shut down now. He's in captivity and removed from the sources of his otherworldly power.
How did you know that it was going to be my cousin?
Because I have a sense of narrative.
We got to sanctify this MF'er's temple.
Ebert's law of conservation of characters.
Did I even... Could you stop jingling those
Valley of
dice?
The Baals.
Did my mikveh baths even mean anything?
If they meant something to you.
This is not subjective, whatever it means to you, okay? This is like what
this
the God of the Israelites
time
decrees.
To do it, but it's probably a good time to introduce the notion that religion is make-believe.
What?
I know. It's hard.
So those 11 piety points that you were sitting on suddenly...
Listen, I'm about to call that mom. So...
I've got 38 piety points.
Then we iris in. That's the end of the story. You've captured the bad guy. Now we have to cover an important point, which is what our characters do after the end of this story.
Epilogue.
Yes. So what does Bonanza do after having been part of a successful operation by the Jewish temple to eradicate heresy in Jericho?
Well, this whole kind of experience has really brought me back to why I got into the entertainment business in the first place. And it's really to bring people that mirth and that joy and lightness that is a kind of proximity to the divine. Mm-hmm. And I need to return home and I need to make amends. I know I'm banned from Carchemish and from the lands and domains of Hatti as far as they extend.
Don't go to those lands. Go to Jerusalem.
If I can pay my debts.
Come with us to
Jerusalem. And make amends. I am going to.
Make amends to the real God.
But you're not in the epilogue.
Oh.
I am going to go back to Hatti, pay my debts, set things right, and then I want to return to Jerusalem and meet up with my wonderful priest friend and his acolyte and have a long discussion about theology and potentially studying under some Jewish comics.
Potentially get circumcised.
Oh, that is off the table. Pagan for life, baby.
And Neva, what's Neva going to do?
I'm pretty disenchanted with my Israelite religion now.
What?
Yeah, it's true. So I'm going to take my 11 piety points and call that mom, see if maybe she wants to leave her husband for me, see if maybe we can start a radically inclusive goat farm together. Just live that goat cheese life. It is low in lactose, and their meat is, by definition, grass-fed, and I'm about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're safe, priesties, so... He can see himself home.
Ithamar, you led back a rebel against the temple to Jerusalem. You're a hero and a famous Jewish warrior for the faith. In a time when Judaism needs it, when Solomon's, piety is in question and the kingdom is
like Solomon's piety
at risk.
In question. It's his wife's piety that's in question.
I think Elzebub nailed this one.
And I thought he was a fool for marrying these
strumpets.
These exogenous strumpets.
Mm-hmm.
But my own cousin was taken in by this. And I gotta rethink everything. I'm still, of course, loyal to the one true God.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm no longer Ithamar Ben Medad. I'm Tamar Bat. Me mom.
What?
That's right. I'm a lady now. And I've renounced the priesthood. Because priests can't be women for some reason in this stupid religion. And
You can come visit me on my goat farm.
I'm going to come visit
her
on her goat farm.
It is a radically inclusive goat farm, as we already heard.
Yeah.
I got to say, perhaps my constant misgendering was something that helped shepherd Tamar.
Don't give yourself too much credit.
I like to think that my subtle bigotry was actually eye-opening.
It was actually a Yentl situation all along.
Mm.
Oh.
And
seems like something we could have worked on and developed as part of the story.
Yeah, but we didn't.
Surprise!
Like the last minute reveal.
But it's surprise.
Mm-hmm.
It's a last minute reveal.
And surprise is good.
And that's what we're doing.
Beautiful.
I also got to say, I'm not actually from Carchemish. I was from Hattie all along.
Oh my God.
Okay. Congratulations, everybody.
Yay.
We testamented. Grego, where can people find you online?
Don't bother. Just invite me on your podcast based on this alone.
Awesome. And Maggie?
You can follow Drunk Safari on Apple Podcasts or your podcatcher of choice. And you can follow me on Twitter at EMTEEHALL.
M.T. Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you for joining us for the thrilling conclusion, the fourth and final episode of this mini-series. Season 2.5 complete.
Complete.
If you, you know, skipped some of those and you want us to get back to the Bible, okay, we listen. We hear you.
We hear you.
From the past, we hear you. Speaking now.
In the future.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be back to, I don't know, tell you about season 3 on the next episode.
The very next episode. Thank you again so much to our two amazing guests, Maggie Takota Hall. Listen to her podcast. It's called Drunk Safari. Follow her on Twitter. It's EMTEE Hall, MT Hall, like her initials, but spelled out. You see, also thank you to Greg. He's on Twitter at Leduc Violet. Go follow him.
We are on Twitter, as you probably know, at Sun School Drop. I'm on Twitter at Niko Bakulich.
N-I-K-O-B-A-K-U-L-I-C-H. Oh, I'm pepping it up.
Love the enthusiasm.
I'm Lauren E. O'Neill. O'Neill spelled with an A like Shaquille spells it.
You can send us email to contact@sundayschooldropouts.lol. As always, sundayschooldropouts.com is a place where goblins and orcs are known to frequent.
Wow, nice D&D ref, baby.
Mm-hmm. I'm a nerd.
As always, thank you to Elise Carlton for our logo, and thank you to Niko for music, editing, and sound engineering.
Like I said, we'll be back next time with the start of season 3. So many more stories to explore with all of our favorite people. That's you. Anyway, I'm Niko.
I'm Lauren.
And we'll see you on Sunday.
Bye.
Bye.